So what are we talking about over here? With a mikvah with cloudy water, right? We try to avoid those in general. But okay, but remember, he could also be talking about this idea. So if you ever go like to the, if you go to the mikvah, let's say too late on Erev Rosh Hashanah, you know exactly what the Gemara is talking about. So but remember, the pashut pshat is that where are they toveling? They're toveling in the river. So the waters of the river all over are very often murky. So when you have murky waters, that by definition creates a barrier between libo and Erev. If you have clear waters, so what can you do? Even if you have clear water, you sit in the water until your neck, and you can be kriyashma. V'yesh omrim ochrin beraglo. Others say, what should you do? You should, you know, literally muddy the waters with your foot, which is another way of saying, move your foot around the riverbed, stir up the dirt on the riverbed, and murky up the water. That's a word. The Tanakama, hari libora sa'erba. Aye, but one second. How could the Tanakama allow you to go ahead and simply immerse in clear waters? Is not your lave going to see your erba? Kasavar libora sa'erba mutter. Tanakama doesn't have a problem with that. Apparently, not everybody agrees with this idea that there's a problem of your lave seeing the erva. Okay. Vahare akeva roasa erva. But there's another issue, which is your heel sees the erva. Now we'll say, what does that mean? The concept of libo roasa erva means that any part of your body that is normally covered is not permitted to be seen by another part of your body. So when it says akeva roasa erva, means it's not just your lave that's problematic. Your heel sees the erva also, which is normally covered. So the Gemara says, Kasavar, Akeba Roasa Erva Mutter. He holds that if your heel sees the erva, it's not such a big deal. It's not a problem. Itmar, Akeba Roasa Erva Mutter, no Gea. Aye, so now the Gemara says like this. Let's even accept the idea that your heel seeing the erva is not problematic. What about your heel touching the erva? Meaning, let's say you were to sit down in the mikvah. I guess the image would be, you would be sitting like Indian style. So now what happens? Your heel touches the erva. Does that pose a problem for Shema? Abai Omer Osir, Rava Omer Mutter. Abai says also Rav says Mutter. Rav Zvid Masnil Hashmai Tahachi. Rav Zvid stated or taught this following statement in the following way. Rav Chinana Bered Rav Ika Masnil Lahachoi. Binogeya Divrei Hakol Osir. So Rav Chinana taught in the following idea. He says that when the Nogeya Divrei Hakol is Osir, if the heel touches the erva, it's Osir. Roe, what happens if the heel sees the erva? Abai Amar Asar, Rava Amar Mutter. Why? Lo nitna Torah lemalachei hasharis. Right? No, we can only try our best. We're human beings. V'hilchasa, what is the halacha? Nogea Asar, Roe Mutter. And the halacha is that if the heel touches the erva, it's Asar. But if the heel sees the erva, it's Mutter. So Rava says, if you have excrement in a glass container, so meaning on one hand it's contained, but on the other hand it's visible. So what is the halacha? Mutter likros kriyashma kinegda. You can go and you can say kriyashma opposite it. Erva ba'ashoshes. What happens if you have erva and glass? Now what does that mean? Let's say someone is naked. Someone's naked, and there's a glass partition between you and the person who's unclothed. So what's the status for Shema? Also, the gross kriya Shema kinegda. So the Gemara says, okay, let's explain this. Tzava ba'ashash is mutter gross kriya Shema kinegda. That's why b'kisa italia milsa v'hamachosya. So the reason why it's permitted to say Shema opposite excrement that's encased in a see-through enclosure is because when it comes to excrement, the operative principle is it has to be covered. It has to be covered. And since it's covered, that's enough. However, erva ba'ashosh is also likros kriyashma kinegda. Why? Lo yiroe b'cho ervastov avrachmana b'ha kamischazya. When it comes to erva, it's not a dinin that's being covered. What is it a dinin? It's a dinin visibility. And at the end of the day, even though it's technically speaking within an enclosure, halacha lemaisa, it's still visible. Amar Abaye, tsoa kol shehu mevatla barok. Abaye says that when you have excrement, any amount of excrement, if you have a small amount of excrement, so there's an easy way to deal with it. What do? Mevat labarog. Spit on it. That way, essentially, you could negate the existence of the excrement with the saliva, with the spittle. Amarava, no. Ubarog ava. It's not with any spit, but rather, what does it have to be? Phlegm. phlegm, right? It has to be something like, you know, something that has mamoshes, you know, has to mamish be something significant, right? So you have to cough up something significant, and then that's able to go ahead and negate the presence of the tsoa. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rava, tsoa beguma manicha sandalo alav bekori." We'll say again, we're going to go just for a couple of more minutes. Those of you who have to dive in at the 9 o'clock, I don't want to make anyone late. We're just going to go a few more minutes. So the Gemara says, if you have tsoa beguma, what happens if there is excrement within a pit? Excrement in a pit. So what do? Manicho sandalo aleha v'kori kriyashma. You just simply go ahead and put your sandal over the opening of the pit, meaning the assumption over here is you could step on top of the pit and thereby really obscure the view of the tzoa, and that's enough. Bo'or mar b'rei d'ravina. So mar b'rei d'ravina asked the following question. Tzoa devuka besandalo mai. What happens if there's excrement on the bottom of your shoe? What's the halacha there? So we'll say, what's the shayla? Again, also assuming that there's no odor, right? Because if there's an odor, obviously you can't say shayla. Let's say there's no odor. So here's the shayla. On one hand, is it covered?
Yes.
On one hand, on the other hand, what's covering it?
Yes.
You, right? So the shayla is, what do you do? So interestingly enough, the Gemara says, teiku. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda. Also, what do you do in a teiku situation like this? Right? So the teiku situation is, right, yeah, go ask a shayla, but leave your shoes outside if you come to ask the shayla, please. Right? So the idea over here is that in a case of teiku like this, what you would do is you would err on the side of caution, and you would not forsake Shema with this particular sandal. So the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda, Akum Arum, Asa Likros Kriya Shema Kinegdo. If you have an unclothed Gentile, you may not say Kriya Shema opposite him. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Ma'ir Yaakum, Afri the Yisrael Nami. Obviously, nakedness is nakedness. He's a naked Jew, a naked Akum, what does it matter? So the Gemara says, no, Yisrael Pshitali the Asr. So the truth is, the Arab of a Jew is obvious that you can't say Kriya Shema opposite it. Ela akum itzrichale. But for a non-Jew, you need the Gemara to teach us this. Why? More than I've thought. Since the Pasuk says their flesh is like the flesh of donkeys. Now I will say, what is that referring to? So the Navi over here is referring specifically to the promiscuity of the Egyptians. Apparently, the most promiscuous animal that's out there is the donkey. So the Gemara says that the Egyptians were as promiscuous. They used their flesh like the donkeys use their flesh. So the Gemara understands that, the Gemara questions, is the Navi also making a halachic statement? That regarding matters of the flesh, regarding matters of erva, maybe the erva of a Gentile is treated more like the erva of an animal and not like the erva of a person. So the Gemara says, no. Kamash malon the inhunami ikra erva. So no. That comparison was made for specific reasons, for immorality purposes, but does not come to tell you that the nakedness of a Gentile is any less halachically problematic than the nakedness of a Jew. Dichsiv the ervas avihem lo ro. Interestingly enough, by Noach. Since by Noach, again, which ultimately the Gemara says, still calls their erva saviyam an erva, haloch lamais, you see that the erva of a non-Jew is also called an erva. So the Gemara says that if you want to cloak yourself in the waters of the mikvah, so the halacha is, the Mishnah seemed to say, that you may not use foul-smelling waters, or water that was used to soak flax, until you pour additional water into it. So the Gemara says, V'kama maya rami va'azil, how much additional water do you have to add in order for the mikvah not to be problematic? You may not go ahead and, so the Gemara says, no, you have to read the Mishnah a little bit differently. You may not go ahead and use foul-smelling waters, or flax waters at all. Meaning you could use it potentially for a mikvah, but you can't use it to cloak your body for kriyashma. When it comes to urine, so the halacha is that urine is only problematic when it's there. But if you mix water into the urine, that negates the identity of the urine as urine, and you'd be permitted to say Shema. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbana, kamayat losochan mayim. How much water do you have to mix into the urine in order to negate its identity as urine? So the Gemara says, Koshu, any amount. Reb Zakkai Omer Revius. Reb Zakkai says, no, you have to have a Revius of water. Amram Nachem Machlokes Lebasov. The Machlokes is only when what? When you are introducing the water into the urine. Aval Bitchila, but if you're pouring the urine into the water, Kol Shein, everyone agrees that any amount of water is sufficient. The idea is because every drop of urine becomes bottled into the water as it comes in. Rav Yosef, or Machlokes Lechatchila. Rav Yosef says, no, the Machlokes is when is when halacha lemaisa, the water is there to begin with, and the urine is being introduced to it, aval basof. But if you're introducing the water into the urine afterwards, divrei hakol revius, everyone agrees that it's a revius. Amar le Rav Yosef l'shamei, aisa l'revius demayo k'Rabbi Zakkai. And the Gemara stands off with an episode. Rav Yosef said to his shamis, he said, please make sure to always bring me a revius of water like Rav Zakkai, because that will be enough to go ahead and negate the existence of the urine. Two more lines. Tanra Abonon, graf shalrei va'avet shalmei raglayim. If you have a bedpan, right? A graf shalrei is a bedpan that's used for excrement. Avet shalmayim is a bedpan that's used for urine. Also, likros kriyashma kinegdan. You may not go ahead and read kriyashma opposite them. Va'afapi she'in bohem klum. Even though there's nothing in them. Again, because these utensils are considered to be foul in and of themselves. Umei raglayim atzmon, and urine itself. Ad shiyito l'sochan mayim. Until you introduce water into it. V'kamo yat l'sochan mayim. And how much water do you have to introduce into it? Kol shehu, any amount. All right, we'll stop over here. In Eretz Hashem, tomorrow morning we're going to pick up the last line of Chaf Hei Amud Beis. So please just do the remaining lines until tomorrow.